You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what's poppin'? As always, it is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. I'm a fantasy analyst at PFF and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast. Your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And this is our last episode, the Friday episode. And you guys know how we like to do Fridays around here. We try to have a mailbag episode every week. And this week, we are going to have a mailbag for this one. You guys sent in a bunch of good questions. I teased that very first one, the Cooper Kupp one. But there's a lot more. We're talking about how Raheem Morris and that defense is looking throughout those first few games and what they may do in this contest against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of course, the Rams are going into week three to face off against the Buccaneers at home, which is just going to be an incredible football game. But before we get into some of these questions, I wanted to remind you guys quickly that the Locked On NFL Draft podcast has relaunched as of September 20th with two new hosts, Locked On 49ers co-host Eric Crocker, as well as Locked On Chiefs co-host Ryan Tracy. They're going to give you the player analytics as well as the player scouting, everything you need to know about every draft prospect. You guys can find them on the Locked On Draft podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now we can just dive right into some of these questions. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can maybe tell that I've upgraded the quality a little bit. I finally found another setting that takes it to 1080p instead of 720. So hopefully it looks a little bit better. I don't know if there's going to be much of a difference, but we'll dive into this first one. It's from at JB underscore peoples. He said, what Rams records do you think Cooper Kupp can or will break this season? And this is a heater right off the bat. I mean, it's a good question, right? You look at some of the records, and the records, by the way, 119 receptions in a single season, which is held by Isaac Bruce, 1,781 receiving yards in a season, again, Isaac Bruce, and 17 receiving touchdowns in a season, which I believe is by Elroy Hirsch, a.k.a. Crazy Legs. I'm not sure that he can get any of those. I mean, those are some very high marks to reach, of course. He's on pace, I mean, to probably get, you know, the receiving record, maybe even the receiving touchdown record, but it's going to be hard to keep that pace over the course of 17 games, of course. So I think at some point it'll probably slow down his production, not necessarily to, you know, a bad degree, but at the same time, you're probably going to expect guys like Robert Woods, Tyler Higbee, some of these other names to step up a little bit, and that target distribution maybe level out a little bit when it comes to all these receivers and skill positions. So if there's any one record that I think he could break for the Rams, I'm going to go with the receptions record, 119. I think he can top that. It's going to be hard, of course, but the yardage one, the receiving touchdowns as well, I just think there's too many weapons on this team for Cooper Kupp to 100% be given 15, 20 targets every single game. It's just not likely, of course. Nobody in the NFL is getting 20 targets a game, so it'll be hard to make do on all those yardage and receiving touchdown records, but that's a good question. The next one's from at LA Ramsey 46, another Cooper Kupp one. He said, Kupp has been one of the most underrated receivers since he came into the league. Do you think this is the year he gets the recognition he deserves and gets voted into the Pro Bowl? And I'm going to go out on a limb here, maybe not even out on a limb, maybe it's a surefire thing at this point, and say that, yeah, he will make the Pro Bowl this season. Of course, the receiver position is absolutely loaded, so there's no shame in not making the Pro Bowl, and especially when you're looking at the team, right? This team is so successful, and Cooper Kupp's going to be the first player to tell you he wants team success over individual success. So when it comes to team aspect, I mean, the Rams are going to put him and every other player on their roster in a good position to make a Pro Bowl or to get some of these accolades that are more individual based, just because they're going to be playing on primetime a lot more. They're going to be exposed to a lot more eyes. A lot more people are going to watch the Rams play this season. And not only that, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're talking about a team that's going to be successful, maybe the best team in the NFL by the end of the season. And of course, they vote on these records before the playoffs start. So the Rams could end the regular season with the best record in the NFL. And these are all the types of things that help players receive these individual awards. And I think the Rams are in a very good spot to help their players out here. So I'm going to say, yeah, he'll make the Pro Bowl. But at the same time, you know, I'm not too concerned with that kind of stuff. As long as you win football games, get in the playoffs, get deep into the playoffs. There's only one goal. You want to win that ring, of course. But I know fans love to see that kind of stuff. So I'll say, yeah, he will get his first Pro Bowl nod this season. The next one's from my guy, Will, at Will Carella. He said, name a player or two that has surprised you in a positive way and a player or two that has disappointed you a little thus far. Also, do you think Ernest Jones will get more involved? And that's a good question. So to begin with, the player or two that has surprised me, I mean, it's got to be center Brian Allen. This guy came into the NFL a few years ago, fourth round pick, not exactly a high investment by anybody or a massive asset for the Rams that they used to acquire him, starts a few games in 2019 and hasn't done anything since. And I mean, for upwards of like 6 to 7 months in this offseason, he was not scheduled to be a starter. And then like August 15th, August 20th, August 30th, whatever it was, rolled around. And all of a sudden, the Rams are shuffling their offensive line a week and a half before the season's kicking off, and Allen's suddenly a starter. And now you look back, you know, over the course of the last 2 weeks, I think you can make the case that he's the best offensive lineman on the team throughout those two games. So the guy has been incredible. I mean, he's been way better than I ever imagined. And we talked about this guy as a potential sore spot or, you know, one of the liabilities maybe that could hold this team back on the offensive line. And he's been anything but that. He has been one of the best centers in the NFL. When you look at the PFF grades, the third highest graded center of the season. So shout out to him for stepping up. He's done an absolutely incredible job. He's by far the biggest surprise. In terms of the disappointment, I'm going to stick on the offensive side of the ball here. And this one was a little bit tough, but I'm going to go with wide receiver Robert Woods. I just feel like he's not himself right now, at least not throughout those first two games. It just feels like he's leaving a little bit on the table. The first game, of course, he's not used that often. So, you know, there's only so much he can do. But you go into the second game, he drops two or three passes, which he never does in the NFL. I mean, this guy has some of the best hands in the league, and he's just not really looked like the same guy. And it's only two games. There's no reason to worry whatsoever. And we'll see what it looks like 5, 6, 8 weeks down the line. But right now, it still feels like he's trying to get his footing underneath him, still trying to work that chemistry in with Matthew Stafford, his new quarterback, of course. So we'll see what happens. But I feel like he's one of those guys that we just expect so much out of, and he always delivers. He's so consistent, and it just hasn't been there so far throughout two games. And in terms of Ernest Jones, I think he could be more involved. I don't think it's going to be too early here because, you know, you look at Kenny Young getting ejected in the second game this past week. Then Troy Reader takes over that linebacker one spot, and we've seen Ernest Jones come in behind him as the linebacker two. So it is kind of a foreshadowing here that he is the next guy up from the backups, the one that's going to get called up in terms of the reserve play there. So that's interesting. But in terms of, you know, what the Rams are doing right now on the defensive side of the ball, I think they got to feel pretty good about Kenny Young and Troy Reader and that pairing at inside linebacker. Both guys have played pretty well. Neither guy has been a liability thus far. You look at Reader, a little bit better against the run. Kenny Young, a little bit better against the pass. And I'm not really sure that they have any reason to change that as of right now. So I'm going to say maybe by midseason, this might change. But as of right now and throughout the next 4, 5, maybe even 6 weeks, I definitely expect it to stay the same as it is. So in a second, we're going to dive into some of these remaining questions and talk about this defense and whether or not they've been disappointing thus far throughout these first two games. And of course, it's a hot topic right now. And you guys can always come follow us on Twitter. You know that, at QBsMVP and at Locked On Rams, and on YouTube at Locked On Rams as well. And I wanted to quickly tell you guys about this sponsor here that we have for this episode. You guys have heard me talk about the Built Bar many times, and with good reason. I'm telling you guys, these are the best protein bars on the market. If you're looking for a good balance of calories, protein, not too expensive, good flavors, a bunch of different variety, this is the company that you need to hit up. They have so many different flavors, so they really got everything that you could possibly want. 19 grams of protein per bar. They're low in calories, low in sugar, high in fiber, and they even work for you if you are on the keto diet. You'll even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do, just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Now we'll pick up right where we left off here with these questions. And the next one's from my guy, Sergey, at that Sergey. He said, I have two thoughts on bend but don't break defenses. What's the Rams' Achilles heel for teams to exploit and something they need to fix, or is it even fixable at this point? And I'm assuming, you know, this grilling here of this defense, there's a lot of questions for this defense in this little segment that we have here. So we'll dive into it. And in terms of the bend but don't break style of defense, I mean, I prototypically hate it. I'm just not the kind of guy that wants a passive style of play on the defensive side of the ball. For me, I love the aggressiveness. I love trying to, you know, put the pressure on offenses to try and scheme you up, right? Like, there's only so much you can do when it comes to player versus player or talent versus talent. At the end of the day, you still need to scheme these things into good positions. And the Rams last year, they were absolutely amazing at both their physicality, their talent, and their scheme. So right now, it seems like they're still slowly picking up. But oddly enough, the stats actually suggest that they are every bit as good, if not better, than they were through the first 2 weeks last year with Brandon Staley. So I don't know if it's just something that, you know, we're not seeing right now. Maybe we just have such high expectations with how the Rams ended off last year with their defense, but so far they've been good. And I think in terms of what the Rams' Achilles heel is right now on the defensive side of the ball, it's going to be that run defense, right? The Rams always want to prioritize big plays or stopping big plays in coverage. And I'm never going to disagree with that. The NFL is a passing league. And if you can stop teams from throwing 60, 70, 50-yard touchdowns, you're probably going to give yourself a good shot to win football games. And so if teams are happy to actually try and run the ball off and on the Rams, well, they're going to be happy to take that, and they should be. So is it fixable? I don't necessarily think it's an issue of talent. I think it's just a preference in scheme that they would rather have that light box, keep their two safeties at the back instead of creeping one down towards the line of scrimmage, unless it's very, very noticeable that it's a run play. And of course, you're going to do it every now and again. Teams always mix things up, but oftentimes I just think it's a scheme thing, and I think they're going to continue that. So I have no issues when it comes to that run defense. The next one's from my guy, Jordan at JVAS23. He said, what are your Rams three keys to the game to come out on top in this week three matchup between the Rams and the Bucks? It's a good question. You know, I think first thing is you're going to have to control time of possession or the ball in terms of you want to keep Tom Brady on the sidelines as long as possible. And I think, you know, when you look back to these first two games with the Rams, it's kind of scary to think that their offense has just not ran many plays. I mean, they're on the field quickly and off the field even quicker, whether it's because they scored a 60-yard touchdown or because it was just a stalled drive, three plays, and they're off. You don't want Tom Brady to have many opportunities. So the longer you can hold the ball, the better of a chance you have to outscore this guy. Not only that, but give your defense a rest and a break, because it's going to be a long game for them. Tom Brady's pretty damn good at football. So I'm going to say the first thing is just controlling the ball, the time of possession. The next thing is do not let Tom Brady have anything over the top. This guy's going to dink and dunk his way happily to a win, and that's okay. If that's how he beats you, then it is what it is, right? You just don't want to allow those 60, 70-yard touchdowns, those huge plays over the top that we've seen Tom Brady make over the course of his career. You know, if he's going to beat you by throwing 7-yard passes to his running backs, then so be it. You can't stop everything. The number one thing is keep Mike Evans, keep guys like Scotty Miller, Chris Godwin, keep these guys in front of you, and I think the Rams are going to prioritize that in this game. And then on the offensive side of the ball, score long plays or create explosive plays on the offensive side of the ball. There is going to be a lot of scoring in this game, I think. Maybe both teams crossing that 30-point threshold. And of course, if that's the case, you're going to need to score and you're going to need to get in that red zone quite often. So we'll see how it works out. But in my opinion, you need to be ready to score in this game, and you need to be aware that you're playing a pretty good offense. And I think that they know that. So I'm expecting a high-scoring game. But those are my three keys to victory for the Rams in this contest. This next one is from my guy, Brandon, at NoPlanB_. He said, what are your thoughts on Jared Goff leading the Lions in rushing this week? Dual threat quarterbacks are all the rave. Did the Rams blow it? Everyone who knows Bate knows he's just messing around. No, the Rams did not blow it. They made the good call. I think Rams fans feel pretty good about where they're at right now with Matthew Stafford. And shout out to Jared Goff, man. He's keeping those guys at least somewhat competitive and watchable. You know, that's much more than I expected, to be quite honest with you. So maybe my expectations were just a little bit too low, but he doesn't look terrible there. So, I mean, shout out to him for that. But the next one's from at Thornado14. He said, any chance Brian Allen pancakes Vita Vea? And I'm going to say, yeah, there is a chance. I mean, Brian Allen has played great throughout the first two games. Vita Vea is a problem. I mean, that guy might be the strongest player in football. He is such a load to handle. So I wouldn't be shocked if Vea does have a few good pass rushing snaps. And of course, he's going to be a big factor when it comes to that run defense too. But Brian Allen has been very aggressive throughout these first two games, and there's been a big change in that offensive line where you see these guys looking for work. That's something that offensive line coaches and gurus always talk about. When there's nobody rushing you, you should go look for work, meaning go look to your left, look to your right, see which lineman needs help, and go lay a lick on a defensive lineman. And these guys have brought the physicality forward. You see it on the tape. So I'm going to say, yeah, there is a chance that he knocks them over, but we'll see. The last one here is from at Elaine Cal. He said, Morris seems to be attempting a continuity with the two-man shell defense, but it seems much less effective this year thus far. Have you seen any patterns in the scheme itself that need to be corrected, or could this be due to the loss of veteran presences like John Johnson III? And I haven't dove in that deep into it, so it's hard to say in terms of what kind of play calls they have out there and if there's just some sort of coverage bust or they're just not adjusting too much, but I mean, when it comes down to the numbers, they've actually just been as successful on the defensive side of the ball through these first two games as they were through the first two games with Brandon Staley. You look at any metric, I mean, any actual legitimate metric, not some BS like you see certain outlets plugging, oh, rushing yards per game. I mean, come on. There's so many good metrics in the NFL today. You look at things like EPA or EPA per play, which is expected points added, or Football Outsiders, their DVOA metric, all these things that take into account everything that happens on a field. The Rams rank like top five, top seven in pretty much all of these metrics on the defensive side of the ball. So they're not bad. I mean, I don't know if it's just something that we're all skewed in terms of how the Rams ended off last season, literally shutting everything down, or, you know, I'm not really sure why the expectation just feels off. It does for me too. And it was weird for me to find out that the numbers were pretty much identical, if not better. So far they've done well. You know, I think there's just a added continuity, like you said, to play those two high shells. They're going to play a lot of cover two, cover four, cover six, and they're going to keep everything in front. They just prioritize that kind of coverage, and I can't really knock them for it. It makes a lot of sense. Through two games, you're 2-0, and really off the top of my head, there's not really been any big plays downfield, and those are the backbreakers, the killers that you just cannot afford on that side of the ball. So far, it's been pretty good, but in the next segment, we're going to dive into some more secondary talk as well as this week three matchup between the Rams and the Bucks. But before we get there, make sure to tune back into the Locked On Rams podcast next week when we give you the recap of this contest and everything you need to know about what happened in this game. And as we know, football season is back. And a lot of you guys did join our Survivor Pool series here at runyourpool.com. It is an awesome website where you can literally host anything you want, from Survivor pools, pick'ems, squares, and everything in between. I still have to check to see if anyone's still alive in the Survivor pool, but I got knocked out in week one. Unfortunately, I picked the Ravens over the Raiders, and now I can't remember why. Knocked out in week one, so unfortunate. The winner, I want to remind you, does get a free football jersey, NFL jersey of their choice. You guys can go check out Run Your Pool. They're going to have everything you need. You can get $10 off at runyourpool.com/lockedon. If you use a promo code locked on at checkout, they'll take care of you guys anywhere you are. Start today at runyourpool.com/lockedon and have your pool up and running in minutes. runyourpool.com/lockedon. And you guys know that we do like to bet around here. The best place to do that is at betonline.ag. They're going to take care of you guys everywhere from any sport, does not matter. Right now, though, it is football season, so all of our eyes are on the gridiron. And this is your number one spot to take care of you for your college and pro football action this season. You can get all the latest updated odds, props, and contests, including the $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and a $200,000 Survivor Contest, which are both open now at BetOnline. You can go head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure to take advantage, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football to basketball to horse racing to boxing. They've got you covered, so make sure to take advantage while these offers are still available for this season at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And if you do need help with some suggestions on which bets to take, which lines to avoid, which games to avoid, go listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. These guys are batting above 500% right now, above 50%, whatever you call it. I don't really watch baseball, so I don't know. They're so good at predicting which lines to take, which bets to take, player props, everything in between. You can go check them out at the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. Now we could dive into the final segment here and look at these remaining questions, and we'll try to get through all of these here. So the next one is from at Rain with a Cam. He said, do you think the secondary will continue to play that soft shell coverage? Don't you think that plays into what Tom Brady does best? And I do think they're going to continue doing it, just because would you rather be beat with 7-yard passes or 53-yard passes over the top of your head, right? It's just a simple concept, in my opinion, where you don't want these guys to beat you. That doesn't mean you can't be aggressive. I think they still have certain areas they can tweak where, you know, they can get a little bit tighter in their coverage. They can get a little bit more aggressive. And like you mentioned, Tom Brady will happily dink and dunk and pick you apart for little gains, walk all the way down the field for 12, 15 play drives, and then punch it in for a score. So it is a potential concern, as part of the reason why I think both teams need to score above 30 in this game, especially the Rams, because Tom Brady is going to take whatever you give him. It's going to be hard to confuse this guy or out-scheme him. He's seen everything a million times over, so it's going to be hard. But I do think the Rams are going to continue to prioritize coverage the same way that they have throughout those first two contests. The next one is from at StarkleQB1. Said, how do you feel about the usage or lack thereof of Tutu Atwell so far? And that's a good question. You know, when it comes to this offense, you score like 34 points in game one, you score 27 in the second game. They've had a lot of explosive plays, no issues whatsoever on my end. Would I like to see Tutu Atwell there just for my own enjoyment to see him kind of running wild and, you know, maybe catch a long pass? Yeah, sure. I would love to see it. It would be awesome. But at the same time, this guy is low in the pecking order. DeSean Jackson has hardly played. I mean, he's only logged 17 snaps this season. So if Jackson can't find his way onto the field, almost no chance that Tutu Atwell will. So I'm not personally disappointed by it. Maybe they could have went somewhere else with that draft pick that would have impacted the team much more right now. But at the same time, you know, this offense is good, and there's really not much to complain about on that side of the ball, in my opinion. The next one is from at Dr_Krishnan. He said, what are your thoughts on the Rams defense allowing the Bears and Colts to dink and dunk and eat up clock before they finally wake up in the red zone? Brady will like to do the same until he finds Gronk in the end zone. What could be the workaround to avoid this? And there's a lot of the similar questions here, and I think that's the issue, right? The Rams like to prioritize deep coverage. We've talked about it a lot on this podcast. And like you mentioned, I mean, the Rams did not have maybe the best games in terms of their lockdown style of defense in those first two games. Every single Bears drive went into the Rams half of the field. And the Colts, like you mentioned, they had a lot of success moving the football. They just came away with no points in two red zone drives, which is just horrible. I mean, you need at least 6 points if you're getting to the red zone. So very unlucky for them and just very bad in terms of that close line or red zone goal line style of play for them. Good for the Rams, you know, for tightening up, because at the end of the day, you can allow 99 yards. If you're not allowing the last one, you're still doing your job. But like you mentioned, they need to find a way to be a little bit more aggressive. I think they have to just be a little bit more aggressive in terms of their coverage on the boundary. Those cornerbacks, don't be so quick to retreat and give up that yardage underneath. Maybe be a little bit more aggressive. Know that you have safety help. Be a little bit closer to your target in terms of your man, the guy that you're covering, and then be ready to flip your hips open and run to cover deep as well. So that's one thing that I think they need to just prioritize, being a little bit more physical, being a little bit more willing to take risks, some of those picks, those pick sixes, things like that. We'll see if they ultimately change up in this game, but it's going to be fun to see, because that first half, we'll see how Tom Brady's going to play it. And then we're going to see in the second half, is Raheem Morris going to be able to adjust to whatever Tom Brady's doing, or are they going to just continue to run out that same style of defense and hope that they just outscore the Bucs? It's going to be fun to watch, so we'll see. The next one is from at Schweidog. He said, what grade would you give defensive coordinator Raheem Morris after the Rams' first two games? And I think, you know, on a scale of A to F right now, I would say about a B minus. You know, it's been okay. It's been solid. The Rams are 2-0, of course. No big plays over the top. I think that's a huge part of the defensive game plan here. You cannot get beat for big chunk plays, and they've done a very, very good job at that. And then, of course, their red zone defense as well. You look at the Bears, they come away with an interception to open the game there. You look at the Colts, another interception in the red zone, and then another turnover on downs as well. And then fourth downs in general, the Rams already have 4 fourth down stops in this short season already, and I don't think that they've allowed a single fourth down conversion so far. So in the most important areas and in the most important times and downs, they've been awesome, you know, and they've created turnovers, so they've done a lot of good things. I would just like to see a little bit more resistance in terms of trying to kill some drives, maybe complete some of those sacks that they've lost, maybe a few more interesting blitzes, a little bit more variety when it comes to those guys up front. But all in all, I think they've done a really, really solid job, and there's just not that much to be upset about as of right now. The next one is from at the one who is not. He said, pass rushers, if Floyd can't go. Good news, Leonard Floyd was just being held out for precaution. He had that ankle tweak back in preseason, or training camp, I should say, and he's been fine. So it sounds like he's returned to practice and he's going to go. Of course, if he couldn't go, you got to look at Justin Hollins. The Rams did just activate Chris Garrett off the COVID list as well. So he's a guy that could factor into that rotation. Terrell Lewis, of course, as well. So there's a couple names there. The Rams should be fine. And it does sound like Floyd is going to be able to play in this game. The next one is from at GDubs31. Said, will the Rams look to sign another running back, Todd Gurley? Absolutely not, Todd Gurley. I don't know why you guys won't let this die. Todd Gurley is not coming back to the Rams. He should not come back to the Rams. They literally paid this guy to go away because they did not want him on the team. And then not only that, he had to like file basically a grievance or argue with the team to get some of that guaranteed cash before that whole year ran up. So This is not going to happen. The Rams should not sign Todd Gurley. He was the worst running back on the Falcons last year. And I know you're just kidding. I don't know why I'm getting all worked up. But maybe they sign a running back. Depends on the status of Henderson. Is he going to be able to go this week? Is he just going to be knocked out for a week? We'll see. I think for now, they're pretty happy with what they have. If they do elect to sign a running back, it should definitely not be Todd Gurley, though. The next one is from at Brian Teds. He said, who do you think gets the first touchdown, the Rams or the Bucks? I think whoever gets the ball, that team is going to score. I'm going to go with the Rams. I mean, they like to typically kick the ball away, so maybe they won't score that first touchdown. We'll see. But I'm going to go with the Rams in this one. So I just think they want to come out and start this game hot. Maybe the Bucks win the toss and elect to defer, which would put the Rams on the field first. So I'll go with that. But hey, that's anyone's guess. And then the last one, at Frankie, New Jersey. Will this defense eventually be a shutdown defense? And it just really depends on what you mean by shutdown defense. If you're talking about, are they going to be the same number one ranked defense that they were last year? I'm going to say no. I mean, it is hard to do that. It is very, very hard to do that. What the Rams put on tape and on the field last year was something you don't see often. It doesn't happen every year. So I don't think they're going to be that same kind of defense. That defense was absolutely unreal from the schematic standpoint, the adjustments, the talent, everything just worked perfectly. I do think they can be a top five, top 10 defense this year, but I do not think they're just going to completely shut down teams like they did last year. So if you're expecting that number one ranked defense, I probably would lower my expectation a little bit, but it's not out of the realm of possibility either. They still have a lot of the same players. Of course, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Williams, some of those names. So they can still rely on these guys. They can still field a very good defense. But the good news is the offense is way better than they were last year. So the defense doesn't have to be as good as they were last year. That's going to do it for this mailbag episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. I appreciate you guys so much for listening. Make sure to tune back in here every single day next week for the game recap between the Rams and the Bucks. We're going to have you guys covered for everything you need to know about who stood out, who didn't play so well, what happened in that game, why the Rams won or lost, we'll see, or even tied. I guess that's a possibility as well. Make sure to keep tuning back in here at the Locked On Rams pod. Just a reminder, you guys can come connect with us on Twitter as well, at QB's MEP, at Locked On Rams, and on YouTube at Locked On Rams. And please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.